This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say. What's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kickoff, you can get it just in time for half time, but I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery free and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Puts it in the air. Aiden Flynn wins the goal.
It's still with Lee Gregory. He's in the box. Tries to screw it. Is it going to be there?
Yes! Yeah!
Oh my God!
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Week. Joining me tonight, I've got Ash, Simon, and John, and we're going to be going through a 3-0 home win to get us to a magical 50-point mark in order to take one giant leap towards championship safety. Joining me tonight is, is Ash, John and Simon. But I tell you why I've been so thrown. One, I've just got in from work. And two, while we were doing the countdown just then, John was having a shave and it absolutely threw me. I saw you just whipping around there, bro. Well, it absolutely did me for a bag of chips and absolutely threw me. Don't forget, we are live. So if you want to get yourself some comments out there, get involved, you know, we're happy to take on board what's happening. Well, let's get into it. That weren't too shabby, were it? So Ash, how was your day, mate? How did it all go? You know what I mean? Yep. Did you have a lovely time?
Had a lovely time, yeah, man. Treated myself to a nice big breakfast before the game. Got into Kelham a bit early, a few beers, and a few more beers, and it was good. Yeah, settled the old nerves a bit. I wasn't quite shaking like a shitting dog, if I'm saying myself. But you know, I was a bit nervous. I've got to say, I was nervous, but obviously we'll talk about it, but no need to be with it. It was piss easy, wasn't it?
Yeah, piece of piss, mate. Now West Brom is a team that we don't have a great record against in recent years. I must admit, I was a tad concerned that they might have turned up, especially if they were playing to get into the Premier League, essentially. And I bet they were a bit gutted. Like I said, I'm at sixth and seventh. I've just walked in the door, so you're going to have to bear with me. I forgot what I was saying, and someone's just commented in there, John's got sleeves. So if you did get to watch it last week, John's boy band shirt absolutely dropped in. Ash is going to be manning the comments this evening, so let's get into it. Now, Simon, from Ash's young boy, whose mullet haircut has now earned in the moniker of Shadrach, which I really enjoy, Ash, that's all right. Over the last few months, he's been called Shadrach, Eastbound and Down, Joe Dirt, Cotton Eye Joe.
Billy Bob.
Big fan of that. Billy Bob. but Simon, like, Lewis did send me some pictures. And you lads went for like a breakfast in the morning, and I thought, aye, this is going to go south. It was like 10:30 in the morning, and you were chinning back the beer flights.
Yeah, and that was a little bit later. Ash and I decided to delve into the beer flight, didn't we, Ash? But we start. I started off on a Belgian blue. Still got some Christmas vibes going on. And we had a nice breakfast. And like Ash said, I wandered around the old Kelham, which ended up in a beer flight of, I don't think anything was below 7%. And then a steady stroll to Hillsborough, walking through the door at, I think, about 10 to 3. So that was
our the queue on the road and people going, oh, this is bloody rubbish. What's bloody going on?
No, actually, I think everybody was in. It was amazing. Oh, nice. We just sailed straight in.
That's not too shabby.
It was a good, well-timed walk, it was, I tell you.
It was.
Straight there.
Now, I tell you what, John, I've known Ash a number of years, and the geezer can drink. However, the day after, not great. So, you know, Ash, how was your Sunday?
Brilliant. I stopped. It took me 30 minutes to get a beer at half time on the South Stand. So I only had one. And then I got home and I was all right on the water. So, yeah, I was sensible adulting. I was on Saturday.
Clever. So right then, let's get into it then, John. So, beforehand, West Brom, a team that we've not got a great record of against in recent years. I mean, what were your thoughts and feelings before we went into it?
Yeah, exactly that, Dan. It's a team we've traditionally struggled against. I think, you know, the win on Saturday was like first time in a long time we've actually done, you know, beat them in the league. It seems to have had our number. They got something to play for themselves as well. They were still trying to jostle for playoff position, and they're still in the mix to go up themselves. So, no easy task. The one bit of solace for me though was the fact that it was going to be a sellout. I'm always a little bit more confident, no matter who comes down to Hillsborough in our league, that if we get a full Hillsborough and we really get behind them, it can just give us a little bit more impetus and drive to get a result. And so that was spurring me on to think, yeah, I know these are good and we know we've got to beat them, but we are at home. It is a sellout, and you know, that would give me belief, to be honest, mate. Yeah.
Oh, he said it.
12th man.
I tell you what, 33,000 on at Hillsborough is absolutely rocking. And the number of ex-pros we've had on this show, the number of people who've talked on this show in terms of from the other side, they always talk about the Hillsborough atmosphere. Now, I've always been quite critical of it over the years because, you know, prices have got expensive. It's diminished a little bit. The era of chanting seems to have gone away a significant amount. And people kind of sit there now with their arms crossed, sort of saying, you know, let's have it now. Ash, did you get involved in the well? Let's call it bouncing, shall we?
Well, that was later on, but no, I didn't. If that's what you're asking.
The prior bouncing. Let's go through it. You know.
No, there was no of the bad. Of course, yeah. I mean, I echo exactly what everyone said on the show. Yourself said, Dan, that the 30,000 plus at Hillsborough, when there's a big game, there's something to play for. And I don't think any Chef Wednesday fan, yes, I know the prices are extortionate. I know it's not always easy for people to get to. But when there is a big game, you know, when there is something on the line, Wednesday fans do tip up, don't they? We always ask the team to turn up. And I tweeted this after the game. I said, the club asked us to turn up by buying the tickets and selling it out and make it an atmosphere. We did that. And then it was great for the team then to turn up for us as well, because we asked the team to turn up and they did it. Of course they did. And it was the beginning. You could just like I know we got in pretty late on in the game, but we got in there in the middle of the start of the atmosphere and people up, and obviously high hair was one of the loudest I think I've heard for many a year. And it's great. And I took a picture of the cop, because I think I sit on the south. I'm in the cop next year, but I'm on the south. And I tell you what, looking at the cop, from if you're in the north, or I suppose if you're in the away end or on the side, looking at a full cop, I mean, and I tweet, there's nothing better. It was absolutely banging. It was really good. And it's great to see.
I tell you what, lads, we've got an upbeat Ash tonight. Brace your fucking selves. Like, Geese is in a good mood. And I tell you what, upbeat Ash is my absolute favourite. So before we go to the comments, Simon, like, you know, just give us a brief interlude on what you thought it was going to be like. I mean,
there's two halves there, because the first one, we sort of sat, as we said, we had a few beers beforehand and we sat around breakfast. What do we expect? And I think all of us pretty much went for we'd be happy with the draw because of the histrionics of it in the past, because obviously West Brom, I'd seen West Brom play Leicester the week before, and despite losing, I thought they were a good side. And I really thought that get a draw out of this will be spot on. You know, a draw, anything more would have been amazing, but a draw would have been ideal. And then when we walked down there, and it had that feeling of the Preston home, the Peterborough home fixture. Mm. Walking down, it had that sort of feeling about it. The ground was full early. Like I say, we got down there and literally walked straight in. And the buzz as we went up the steps into, I sit up in the grandstand, it was just that buzz up there that. What I felt last time we were at Peterborough, you know what I mean?
They were all pacemakers.
Mate, this is right, let's just end that, because it's a family stand, so it's loads of families up there. So you're sat with the oldies down in the south stand. Don't shout. Oh, don't bounce. Oh, don't bounce.
I will get on to that later, Simon. Not another rant, but yeah.
But there was that feeling that there was. It felt a bit Peterborough-ish. There wasn't any negativity.
Is that going to be a new noun going forward? It's a bit Peterborough.
and yeah, that's what the prawn sandwiches taste like. And also as well, you know, when you see the old lady fall like she is to the rafters, I think players now sort of seen that over the last few years, certainly the season guys like Bannon and Palmer, you know, going back to Brighton and obviously Peterborough last year. I think it spurs them on now. I mean, this excuse of a big crowd or they get on your back and all that. I think if the crowd are behind you, it spurs you on. And that's what it felt like. That's really what it felt like, was the we were that next man, that next person to spur them on. It felt great. It felt great.
What the comments saying, Smash? I saw one there that says, "Oh, grandstand."
Martin said, "When the stadium is full, when our fans sing 'Hail O Silver Lining' like that, when the team play like they did, it's just a joy to behold. My team, God, totally. Yeah.
You got that. I tell you what, this has been weird, right? If you look across the socials, so comments like that have absolutely blown me away. Because when you genuinely think about it, look at that. Danny's there, gone with makes you proud. Raw Wednesday, aren't we? Look at these comments coming out, right? You won't be able to explain to somebody in about 20 years' time why everybody was in such a good mood at finishing 20th in the league. You know what I mean? Like I feel that there's more to this win that we did on Saturday rather than there was at Peterborough. I'd argue, because, you know, it was League One. Peterborough only just sneaked into the playoffs. Us beating West Brom 3-0 at home and turned up when it mattered. There is some absolute balls on toast behind that. You know what I mean?
I said, talking before the game, the other thing, and I said, this is how I felt. I felt over the last few weeks, we've had some standout performances from other teams. We go about Blackburn beating Leeds. QPR beating Leeds 4-0 Friday. I know they're out of it now with that result. We had Plymouth beating Leicester on the Friday night. And I, even though I love the 3-1 against Hull that we beat them earlier, and I didn't think we had one of those sorts of results in us. Mm-hmm. And I said on the group chat, on our WhatsApp, I'm happy to be proved wrong. And I was, because that was one of them performances. And I just thought that, we need it at that time, and we need all the points, of course, stupid, I know, but we saw that the Swansea game, we thought that's a win, a point. The Stoke game, we were cruising in that, and then their Hillsborough hero, did you see that tweet? Jesus Christ, that's embarrassing. The Hillsborough hero, they equalised, and obviously it won all. And then we thought, that's it. Where is that performance? Where is that result? And fair play with Blackburn away, got that. And then we got West Brom on Saturday at home. And that was our, for me, that was our standout performance on Saturday. At a time where we need it. I know it's easy to say we need them, but yeah.
I'll tell you what, just put Ryan's comment up there, Ash, just before I move on, because that for me is absolutely banging there. Fell in love all over again with Wednesday last year after beating Tarn in the final, my hometown. And these last few weeks, it's happened again. I love my club. Like we're finishing 20th, and look out, look at what a great mood we're in. And I tell you what it is, it's because we had a shitty start to the season, terrible start under Chisco. And the job that Rule's done, not just tactically on the pitch, and you know, a couple of signings here and there in, you know, loan signings in January. What he's done is managed to get these players to really dig deep, and to come over such a mental block. I mean, as soon as we conceded in the first half of the season, even during the first part of Danny's reign, as soon as we conceded, heads went down. And that was it. We kind of knew we weren't going to win. And then now, what he's managed to do, that the belief he's managed to instill into those players is beyond impressive. Because once you've, I'm going to use the term, lost the dressing room, to get it back like he did, and to get those players playing, because, you know, 80, 90% of them aren't his signings. To get a tune out of them like he has, my hat is off. Not that I usually wear a hat, but it's off.
My friend AD, friend of the podcast and fellow drinking chum, he sent me a table today that was on the 25th of October, and we played 13 games and we got 3 points out of a possible 39.
I tell you what, if you that's genuinely impressive. If you ping that to Ash, he can we'll get that up and we can show that off at some point with some infographics. Now, John, I'm going to come to you. I'm not going to, stay on it for a long time. I'm going to come to you about lineup. Any big surprise in there? Back to the three at the back. Back to the four. The 3-4-2-1 that we did. Ogbo flanked by Masabra and Windass, and then Valentina Johnson at wing back. Volks and Bannon, and Palmaio for Bernard and Beadle. No Bambo to start with, but his nose was pointing in the wrong direction. said he was all right. Wow. But like, that's a going for it side, that, isn't it?
Yeah, without a doubt, that, isn't it?
Yeah, really positive looking lineup with obviously you got Masabo, Windass, and Ugbo, who was due a goal, wasn't it? And obviously, as it panned out, that was great. But yeah, a really positive looking lineup, and so good to see Bernard back in there as well. He's so assured and comfortably our best centre half, isn't he? So it was great to see him in there. That's the variant we need. I don't think we ever play particularly confidently and well when it's four at the back. I prefer that sort of variant where we've either got the three, which can become a five in defensive mode or whatever. So about as good a lineup, I think, as it could have gone with, to be fair, Dan, on that one.
Absolutely. And again, with that formation, players like Valentin and Johnson, it absolutely brings them to their absolute best. Playing them as full backs, like what you'd call Dennis Irwin full backs back in the day. You know what I mean? It's not their knitting. And to have them as advanced wing backs, as it were, in old money. I don't know if they're still called wing backs. You know, we call attacking midfielders number 10s now, when that used to mean the big donkey up front. You know what I mean? I feel like that's where that formation absolutely kicks in. So let's get into it then, Ash. Let's get to the start, shall we? Let's get to this game. We've done a big high-o silver lining, and we knew that an early goal would get Hillsborough rocking, right?
Yeah, we've seen it many times, haven't we, with an early goal. And with the one last week, Blackburn, I know it was weren't fortunate. It was a great finish by Windass, but that's what an early goal. And then, we knew what happened after that, and we went on 1-3-1. It was just, I think it was just the nervousness again for me, and it weren't the beer. It weren't like I was going to the toilet for 5 minutes, anything like that. It was just sat there, and you're looking in. And for the starting lineup, I think that is probably his strongest starting lineup over in regards to people in form, people who obviously aren't available. I know Bambo, I know I don't think Iorfa's played that many as the central centre half. He's always, when he's come on or started, he's been at the right side. I mean, for the, however, is it 5 weeks or something, Bernard's been out? It was like he was never away. So he's
we're going to miss him, aren't we?
If he came back in. So, I mean, the midfield pair, which looks like that's a solid midfield pair now, isn't it? Bannon and Volks. Volks again was, I think he's just gone up and up and up in the last couple of months. His game and his season's turned around since he got rested, dropped, or whatever it was for a few games. So for me, and like I say, Ugbo, he's got a goal. I mean, he's not scored in eight, but he's been about, he hasn't had that many out of the eight games where you've gone, oh God, he's been dog shit. Do you know what I mean? He has been in the game. He has had a couple of chances. I was happy with the lineup and the start was, how could they not have started well with 31,000 behind them. You know what I mean? And Bannon said it in his post interviews that the crowd are there. They can feel it. They can hear it. And they've just gone out there and said, look, like I said before, these guys have paid their bloody 50 quid a ticket or whatever they've paid to come. We're going to turn up and justify our money for a bit. And that they did. And the start, like I say, it was great. It was.
Actually, in the right good mood.
It's all right.
I'm always happy to see Ugbo and Masaba in the starting lineup as well, because they've got that chemistry from the time playing together in Belgium. And I think that's really key for us when them two are playing, especially for Ugbo. He knows what kind of, you know, what runs and balls to expect in from the flank from Masaba. And they were a dangerous threat all game, them two. They really were. So I'm always happy to see them two in the starting lineup.
Now, Simon, before you talk about the goal, I just want to pull at something there. Now, we spoke last year a lot about the midfield three with Volks, Bannon and Byers, and then Byers kind of dropped out of form, went on loan to Blackpool this season. And now we seem to have got the oldest midfield partnership probably in the league. And what they've done by having a attacking triangle for all intents and purposes, rather than a forward behind a striker and kind of coming in from the sides, we've got two lads in the middle of the park doing bits. I mean, you know, that's not been too shabby, has it?
No, you've got obviously Bannon. I mean, they say his legs haven't gone, because some of the runs and trackbacks that he does are just unbelievable for a man of his age.
When his tail's up, he's absolutely unplayable.
But what you've got then is you've got him who can play the ball and on his day is unplayable. You've got the tenacious terrier of Will Volks, who is just snapping at everybody's heels. So what I saw at Blackburn and I saw on Saturday is he gives nobody time on the ball. And that's great, because it stops that midfield. And then you've got that pace on the wings from Paul and Johnson, but also Masaba thrown into the mix as well. Who's not, you know, there's a couple of times we broke with Masaba, just Masaba's pace, and they couldn't cope with it at the back. I like the fact that we're playing Ugbo at the top of that triangle. And I think Danny sort of trialled him a little bit to one side and played Smith up there. And I don't think that works in regards to Ugbo's style of play. And by putting him back up front, we look a lot more of a threat. And that proved with one of the goals. So it's worked. I think before, when we played last season with the midfield three, it was that case of slow movement from midfield. But now we're using pace, which is the way the Championship is. It's all about pace. And you know, Bannon playing a decent ball from the back, Volks nipping at everybody's toes. And then obviously you've got three there, aren't you? Masaba, Valentin and Johnson, just adding that pace. And obviously Marvin's killer balls into the box as well, that left foot he's got.
Oh, I love his balls. They're mint.
Are they?
So I tell you what, Simon, I'll come back to you about the goal. But first, Ash, let's have a look at the other babe in the booth again. Let's have a look at some of the comments from the faithful.
Charmin, Baz amazes me with his tracking back. He's like Axtrid after his magic potion. hang on, it's moved there. There we are. Pete's got agrees with the Si. Volk's upturning form has been massive in this running.
It really has.
Yeah. We've had a question here or a statement from Ford WRC. Can't understand why we booed Adam Reach.
Adam Reach,
that was a strange one.
Do you know what? I read that online actually about people booing him. And Adam Reach, I think we absolutely ruined that geezer's career. Because he at one point, before Jordan Rhodes, was our highest ever signing. And it came with a bit of expectation, regardless of the fact that we only really paid 4.5 million for him, which at the time was kind of like the going rate. And but we knew he was capable of his outstanding goals. He was capable of running the show. But it started to get to the point where he would be outstanding 1 in 3 to all of a sudden outstanding 1 in 8. And a lot of people got on his back. But it's just pantomime booing, isn't it? You know, there's no real any venom in it, is there?
It was dog shit as well, so it doesn't really matter.
I think some of it was down to it wasn't in. We're not one of the players who refused to play on after the COVID because we had extra games, didn't we? And I think there was a little bit of ill feeling there amongst people that, yeah, he was him, Forestieri, Fletcher. They were a few of the ones who.
Surely not Forestieri.
Yeah. And I think there was a little bit of bad feeling. But his last season at Hillsborough was dog shit, like Ash says, you know, he's very much the pointy man and blaming other people and not actually getting involved himself. So, like you say, pantomime villain. It wasn't 31,000 there. It was probably 200. You know, that was.
Yeah, I've got more beef with a lot more other players than Adam Bloody Reach. Now I'll come back to you, Simon. Let's go into that first goal, shall we?
Yeah, well, it was from a corner actually. Will Volk's corner, threatening corner in, cleared out back to Volksy. Headed it back in. And then a bit of a, Masaba had a shot.
Windass
had a shot. Had a nip at it, came back out, fell back to him. And then if you have him in front of the net, he's only got one. It's only going one way and that's back in the back of the net. So a bit of a scrappy one. But, mate, you'd take it, wouldn't you? Absolutely. We needed it 22 minutes in, settled the nerves, got the crowd up. Brilliant.
Ash, put that comment up from Scotch there because he's absolutely summed it up a treat there. He's gone with the corner specialist now. That's us.
After, what was it, 400 games or something stupid that we hadn't scored from a corner or anything. And we can't help it now. It's been an attacking been attacking threat for us now, hasn't it, in the last few weeks? But, hey,
we just need a penalty now, lads, don't we?
Go on, Ash.
So I was just going to say, I don't think, obviously, even up to the goal in 22nd minute, I think Volks had an effort that was saved by their keeper, and a Beadle made one save, and I think that was it up until our goal. I think it was very much we were on top, and where we have been guilty before of being on top for 10, 15, 20 minutes and not taking the chances or taking the goals, we did. We scored at a great time because we were on top for a while without being stretched or troubled. Or I think everything like Palmer, Iorfa and Bernard at the back, I think they just hoovered everything up.
You say that, Ash. I'm sorry to cut you out. You know what I mean? That you were talking there about being on top. Like, and there's sometimes at Hillsborough that when we're on top and we don't capitalize on it after about 20 minutes, after about half an hour, we can turn as a crowd, right? It was, as you say, just at the right time, weren't it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it was because it says sustained pressure, and having the ball at feet and making, like Simon said earlier, having the pace as an outlet, and you've got Bannon who can pass a ball any which way. And Volks is like there. He's always going to hoover everything up, going to be at you. It was great. It was good. It was a great 25, 30 minutes at Hillsborough. It was really good. And I'm being far too positive. I'm going to go and sit in the corner and hit myself now.
I was going to say, Ash, look, he's in a great mood, isn't he? Now, John, you know, did we score? Now, at this point, right, sorry, I was just about to trying to work out when we scored. After that goal went in, sometimes you can kind of tell, well, there's only us winning this. But there's a weird thing about it, right? When that first goal went in, I went, yeah, we're probably going to see this out now. Hillsborough will be rocking, it'll be banging. But for some reason, in about 10 minutes during this chat, I'm going to be going, I still didn't feel safe after we scored the third one. But at this point, did you get any inclinations about how the game was going to pan out?
Well, I think it's always key for a side like us to get that first goal, as we've seen all season. If we score first, we've generally got a good chance of winning the game because we're not being built to come from behind, have we? I've said it before, like, but the first goal is key for this side and has been all season. So that's always good to get that, and it always gives you that belief that, hey, hang on, we can get something from this now. But they did come back at us, didn't they, to be fair? They did come back at us, and I'm like, you know, oh, here we go then. And they were popping some balls. They had a ton of corners, by the way. They must have had about 12, 14 corners. And every time they pinged it in, one of their players seemed to get to it as well. So, like, oh, God. I think
I've got stats, John. Let me check.
Go for
it. They had 23 corners in the entire game.
they were coming back at us despite us taking the lead. And I think it was Kyle Bartley, who must be about 38. I don't know. He seems to be in around for ages. He seemed to get on the end of one, and it seemed to hit his own man, didn't it? And which were fortunate for us.
Yeah, there was one that flew. It was goal bound, weren't it?
Yeah.
And it hit their player. It was great defending by their player. It was brilliant defending.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, yeah, I've been corrected by my babe in the booth. They had 12 corners, John, and 23 shots, which, when you think about it, is absolutely bloody terrifying, and stats mean nothing.
That's the funny thing, you know, because when we were coming back, we were looking at the statistics, and like, it didn't look like we only had, what, 30-odd%? I mean, I don't remember those 12 corners. I don't remember all those shots, although probably...
You don't remember a kickoff. You were having beer for brunch. Beer for 11s.
The performance of Wednesday was so good that I'd never felt really threatened until actually we went 3-0 up. And then Beadle, which I'm sure we'll talk about, suddenly became Buffon.
Man of the match for me. There's a few comments there, isn't there, Ash, actually, supporting Beadle's claim for MOM?
Yeah, we got Mad Ward. Beadle was immense. Yeah, it was...
You've got to hand it to him.
Ash, great name, Ash, by the way. Yeah, agree. Beadle, man of the match, which is mad to say. He's been 1-3-0, which is right. I totally agree with that. How many times have we seen it where we've got into a game and we've conceded from corners? It's been far too many, and I don't know. Have we got a specialist free kick, dead ball specialist?
Never got one in.
Defensive or attacking? Well, something's happened, hasn't it? Because defensively we've improved, and attacking we've improved. So something's gone on with Danny Rule's backroom staff. That's done something, but I thought they peppered corners, but I think Beadle made 3 saves from corners, but others, I think the defence just lapped them up.
Absolutely, yeah. Comment of the night here goes to Sharman there. Did Ash get laid this morning? I never seen him so happy. So, you know what I mean? We're all having a right day, Artie. Look at Ash, is in a great mood.
I'm getting ready now, look at that.
I'll tell you what, then, Smash. You go into, because normally I.
My mum watches this anyway. Shut up. My mum watches this.
Did you have a roll in the hay?
A roll in the hay. If Ash's mum's watching, all right, Pauline. Can we say hello to Pauline, please, out in the comments? Just send Pauline a message. You know what I mean? Listen, Ash, go on. Seeing as though you're such a good mood, we don't normally get to hear your analysis of the games because I'd only come to you for the comments. But tell us about this second goal. I mean, it were a penner, wasn't it?
Right. There's a little bit of a story here. So, obviously, I went a couple of minutes before the whistle to go and get a beer. So, Stevie sits about 3 rows in front of me. He's still sat there. So, I shouted at him, Steve, you want a beer? Yeah. So, So I gets in the queue, and it took, like I said, 20-odd minutes to get. I missed all, like, the half-time, everything, to get a beer. So I got that, and gets to the thing, gets to the bar, pays, gets me a couple of pints, come out, add a beer. Coming back, and I'm just walking to my seat, just going down the aisle, down the row, and I turned around, and it's like, oh, and I'm like, yeah, penalty, penalty. And everyone else says, yeah. I'm going, oh, we haven't had a penalty all day and all that. And it's like, what are you on about? We've scored. I went, what? We've scored. I did the old Cammy thing, you know. I went, yeah, goal. And I was like, looked up on the thing. I was like, yeah, Ugbo just blasted one in. I'm like, you're joking. So obviously I've watched it again on the big screen when it works. And yeah, it was, I tell you what, it was a good goal. All round, I think the play for Masaba, just because I think Masaba has done it a few times where he's just not released the ball. And I said this for the Blackburn goal that he set up for Johnson last week. He just sometimes he just keeps hold of it too long. And I think he did there, and I think it was a penalty. But then everyone, their defender, got the ball and just thought, oh, that's it, we're stopping. Ugbo just plowed straight through, took it off him and lashed it into the top corner. And that was, and he went over to the cop and celebrated with Blair, Holly and Charlie.
They did jump over the fence this time. I was very disappointed in. It's a weird one, actually, because to not get given that penalty, we could go a whole season without being given a penalty, even though that one was Stonewall. And fair play for the ref carrying it on, and fair play to Ugbo, you know, doing what we tell 8-year-olds to do is play to the whistle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That is absolutely beautiful to watch. He's gone, play on, brush. And he ain't just hit it. He's hit it. You know what I mean? He's hit it. He's gone to boot that at the back of the cop. We've got Ashley Bin on. He said Ugbo didn't want us to have a penalty this season. Just thought, F it, have some of that. Literally what I was just saying.
And this is why he's a guy who we should look at trying to sign next season if we can. Because he knows where the back of the net is. Quite literally knows where the back of the net is.
It's interesting you've said that, actually, Simon, because I think that's probably going to be the crux of next week. I mean, if we have a dour 0-0 against Sunderland next week, we're going to be talking about how many players we're going to lose and how many players we would keep out of the group of players we've got. KH has gone with, hi, Pauline, do you bounce at Hillsborough? If you're watching, Pauline, let me know. Sharma's gone with the shagging Wendy's, mate. So,
Dan, she actually went the other week for the first time in 50 years, my old dear.
Christ, did she have a good... Hang on, what game was that one? The Stoke game?
Stoke. Yeah. No, not Stoke. Norwich.
Norwich. I tell you what, that had a lot of drama to have a hook back in. Just when you thought she was out, they dragged her back in. So, yeah. So, right, listen, we're 2-0 up, we're coasting now. At this point, Simon, I was like, well, we've won this. We've won it. And then we scored a third, and then I was going, shit, this is tentative. And I don't know why. I genuinely don't know why. Like, the way my crest and trough went through that game. But let's talk about the third one, about Windass's goal.
Yeah, well, I think before that, Beadle had made a few good saves, hadn't they? 2-0 yes. down. And I think they piled the old pressure on. And it was a bit of a squeaky bum moment. Because I think if they got a goal back, you never know what's going on. But yeah, it was Masaba again, breaking on the wing. Ball broke to him. Again, I think we won it in midfield. Just took it off their man. Masaba broke. He tried to get it in the box. And Masaba was doing a Masaba-ish thing as, I'm not passing. No, I'm not passing. Then fell on his arse, but still got control of the ball. And someone managed to get back up and then pass it. I think it was to Volksy, wasn't it? And Volks just made absolutely wonderful pass to Bannon. And if you listen to the Wednesday highlights, John Pearson goes, shoot! Like that.
I think everyone did.
And to be honest, the camera angle from behind, it was that ball, he struck it beautifully and it deserved a goal, but the keeper made a great save but could only parry it. And Windass, not long before, had a ball come across on that left-hand side, and it was almost Johnson-esque. He just needed to lengthen his stride like Johnson did at Blackburn last week. And he I think that's the difference there between Windass and Johnson. He was like, I ain't getting that. And he just didn't. Well,
Well, from Simon, from where I was stood, sat in the south, I was like, oh, he's got that every day. I goes, you lazy sod, why haven't you just thrown something out now? But then on the inside match day, when you watch it, it's like,
quite far away from
It's not quite far. It's like if it just half a step or something. You know what I mean?
It
was one of those where he'd probably look and ask for himself if he went for it and nowhere near it.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was the chance. That was the chance.
I think if it had slid in, it'd have been like Gascoigne in 96, Euro 96,
yeah.
where
he just misses
the ball. Then you're
still
like,
have nightmares about that.
Can you believe
in 2 years, that would be 30 years ago?
That's crazy.
Scary.
Yeah, I was feeling all happy and chipper. Cheers, Dan.
And now you need a prostate exam.
Oh, yeah. Something to look forward to. But
otherwise known as Saturday.
Any day that ends with a Y. When you get in your 50s. Anyway, moving on. And he obviously came in at far post.
We all know away days are mint, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. Same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now with the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. For more information, see mcdonalds.com. See you later.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Finish well composed in front of the cop. Could quite easily have missed it. I know, obviously, he could have quite easily defended it like he did at QPR a couple of weeks ago. But no, back of the net, 3-0. And that was almost a sigh of relief. I felt almost a sigh of relief, certainly where I was. That one I celebrated more out of all of them because I thought, that's us done, we've won this.
We've watched a lot of football games. There's still 20 minutes to get played with a bit of injury time as well. And at this point, I was like, get in, do you know what the fucking Shaggy Wendy's? And then like a minute passed and I was kind of like, shit, there's a long time left in this football game. I've seen 3 goals scored in 7 minutes. You know what I mean?
What did Dan, I'll ask you a question. What did you make to his celebration?
What, the one where he kind of knelt down and blessed the shirt a little bit? It was weird. Like, what you're doing? You know, just that, run your thumb across your name across the back or something, or just do a little, you know, a Robbie Keane flip over or something like that, or, you know, pull out a box of Finder's Crispy Pancakes and shout, this is what my chin model was. You know what I mean?
I thought it was weird because obviously his contract's up and there's all this, is he going to go, is he staying, all that. And if he'd have done a proper ball in it, I know he's not the sort of player, but balling his eyes out, kissing the badge, going like, we love you and all that, you're going to go, ah, oh, that's his fight. But to take his shirt off, kneeling for it, it's like, he's like blessing the shirt. He loves the shirt, do you know? So it's making you think, is he staying? And then some of his captions on social media are like really conflicting, because one room he says, I don't want to play for these boys. I love these boys. I don't want to play with anyone else. And then another one says, thank you, Hillsborough, and all that. So it's like...
Yeah, but he could just be saying thank you, like, because it was good. But the weird thing about Josh Windass is that I don't think you can take anything, not one damn thing. I don't think from anything he says, does, or especially the way he celebrates the goal.
He's cryptic, isn't it?
He tries to be cryptic. He's like one of those guys you meet in the smoking area who's done too much bag, and he's sat there blowing your mind with, you know, with like too much COD philosophy and these statements he's read on probably a sign that's next to another sign that says live, laugh, love in the range or something like that, going, hey, listen, you just gotta let it go, man. And then what you need to do is this. And you're like, bro, you've done a load of beak and you're in a smoking area of the zone in Rotherham. Let's all have 5 minutes. Like, that's what it comes across to me. You know what I mean? Like, Essentially, what I'm saying is we don't know about contracts, because, you know, it's Chancery. They're going to wait till the end of the season. He can bless the shirt. He can do backflips. You know, we can't really read too much into it, I guess, is what we're saying.
He did kind of a wave as well, didn't he, near the end of the game as well. Yeah.
Go on, Ash.
Who knows?
So I've just put up a comment from Slappy Gilmore. Windass could definitely be one of those fellas who masturbates in the mirror while talking to himself.
Basically, Homelander from The Boys.
Sorry, don't kink shame me. Oh, Windass.
Yeah, well, you know. But
anyway, back to the front door.
The final whistle, it was one of them, even though we were like the whistling, everyone's blowing the whistle, going, and it's like, even then, it's like, I wanted the clean sheet for Beadle, for them three centre halves that played really well. I thought Iorfa was really good in that centre.
Mm-hmm. Beadle and Iorfa for me.
Yeah, Beadle and Iorfa, I thought he was great. And there was a stat out on Saturday night that Iorfa made more headers, more challenges, more interceptions or something like that as well. So you got the stats to back up what you're looking at and with your eyes as well. Whistle.
He's so much better in that centre-back role rather than playing right-back.
Yeah,
he
is. Yeah.
He's so much better in that role.
To go with what Dan said, though, as well, is that them conflicting emotions that you had where 2-0 felt different to 3-0.
Yeah.
And when you got to 3-0, and then all of a sudden they've got to just throw everything at it, to be honest, because time's running out.
And I think that's it.
It was like a training match, but then it gets to like nearly full time, and me and my mate are like bricking it how much injury time is going to be. And like, we're 3-0 up, but this is the mentality of a Wednesday.
The whole stadium went, he put the board up and it said 6 on it, and the entire stadium went, 6? 31,000 people said 6 at the same time.
I'll tell you what, I definitely shouted 11 across that pub in London watching that bloody Blackburn game. Oh, 11! 11! But listen, you know, Sheffield Wednesday came out 3-0 winners. Ash, I'm going to task you with a task. Is that something I was about to say? Can you get me a picture ready of the bottom half of the league for me, please? I'll tell you what, I will do it, Ash, while you talk about who we managed to send to that game, because I think you did something nice and I want you to talk about it, please.
We did something nice. Yeah, it was... obviously, you know, everyone knows we're bang on about it all season about our community stuff. And luckily we had two lots of winners. So we gave away two pairs of tickets a couple of weeks ago to the game. But then also we donated some tickets to some charities and some other supporters groups. And so people who don't usually go get to feel 31,000 Wednesdayites. Hi-ho, silver lining. And I think that's where we all agree and that's what we want to do. And then, unfortunately, if they do like it, they might have to pay 50 quid a ticket if they can afford it. But, you know, it's a bit
just financially ruined a load of people there, Ash, because all these kids are now wanting season tickets.
Yeah, so thank you to everyone who's ever donated, bought a raffle ticket, played in the last man standing, donated eggs, bought some tat, what else? YouTube. Yeah, we get about 30p a week from YouTube. So all you guys watching now, commenting, like, share, subscribe, all that. But thank you very much. Yeah, that's so we're glad they've had a great time. And also a big shout out to Dino as well, who we got tickets for, who is having a rough time of it. So big shout out to him.
Yeah, fair play, Ash. You know what I mean? Some of the stuff we've managed to do this season alone, it's been the first time we've ever done anything like this, and it's really nice to be a part of. And you know, like I said last week, stop spending all my Botox money. Now, have we got any more comments about the game, Ash, before we move on?
I'll tell you what, we've had it for a few weeks now, but Valentin is getting some love. And I think that is quite universal over social media and everything. From, I remember we played Middlesbrough near the start where they were having a sticky patch. And we come out the first 45 minutes, we were awesome. And Valentin run his ass off and thing. But after about 55 minutes, he was blowing out of his ass. And he was proper struggling. But for me, over the last few months, definitely most improved player of the season. For me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
If anyone else agrees, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And he's gone from being completely unable to speak and understand English to speaking better English than I can speak Spanish in, what, 8-9 months? So, hats off to him. Yeah. And Callum Patterson's been teaching him.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Valentin's also has embraced the Wednesday experience, hasn't he? He's proper thrown himself into this club. He's like proper wanting to, like Simon said, learn the English. You can see him chanting and clapping back to the fans in the crowd and getting involved with the songs and everything. He's fully embraced the Wednesday experience.
Yeah, it's German Owls. Valentin is so likable, which there is that about this squad of players as well, isn't there? I think for me personally, there's not one player that, you know, there's always usually, isn't there, the thing. And I'm like, apart from,
it doesn't seem to be a Caden
Mallet Wilkes.
They seem to be as one rather than we've been guilty in the past of having cliques, haven't we? And there was that time, you know, you had Forestieri, Ati Niu, Lucas Giao as one little group. And I think we had a bit of that with Backin Cern and a few of the other players last season.
Oh my god. Have you got a racist dog? Is that you know?
he's German, so I don't know. He's probably shouting for Danny. So who knows?
Oh, you made that worse.
Are you? Yes, I have. There's no hole I can dig myself out of now, is there?
No, we'll just...
Did you manage to get the table, Dan?
Do you know what, sorry?
Did you manage to get the table up?
I did. Let's talk about the table before Simon's racist dog gets us into some more trouble. So, Ash uploaded here the old table. So, Ash, when is this from? Oh, 25th of October, right?
It says so at the top of the page there, son.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
So, what am I looking at this for?
It was just Simon just brought it up earlier about the position we were in. I mean, play 13, 3 points. And that would be after Danny's second game, is it? I think 10, 11. Yeah, two games he'd done, didn't he? So that's his second after two games.
No, I think, is it? I thought that was just the Chisco reign, didn't he?
10 for Cisco, 1 for Neil Thompson. And then 12th game was for Danny.
Watford
away. We lost 1-0.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
he came in on the Tuesday, didn't he? And we played like on the Saturday or something. So
that's right. And that Neil Thompson game was one of those draws that we got, wasn't it? It was like a 0-0 against them or something stupid. Like I can't remember. It seems like four seasons ago.
Huddersfield, wasn't it?
Darren Moore's first game.
We're at that point, we're 6 points behind Rotherham and 11 behind Huddersfield. Yeah. No wins and only 5 goals scored in 13 games. Miracle at Hillsborough. This is the miracle of the season if we pull this off now.
I'll tell you what, let me show you the bottom half of the league now then, as it stands right now. So here we're now sat on 50 points, 26 above Rotherham, 5 points higher than Huddersfield, 3 points higher than Birmingham, 2 points higher than Plymouth. That is genuinely incredible. And that's why the fans are so chuffed with, because we can see something going forward. As I've said on the Hello from the Other Side segments that we do, I've said it to a lot of fans, like, yes, you're 6th in the league, for example, but you're not playing a team.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Three for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing, ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points, back of the net, Le Bosch. Automate delivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later!
...team that have got the form
of a team sat in 23rd as we probably were, because we never seemed to be able to get that monkey off us back, did we, for a good number of weeks. And for it to come together when it has at the back end of the season. And I think Barry Bannon summed it up beautifully, actually, after the game on Saturday, where he said, like, you know, we knew we had three big games. The last two are absolute dicks of fixtures. And to get 3 points against Blackburn, I think, set us up. When you look back on it, I think in terms of morale, in terms of attitude and application on the pitch, I think knowing that we could go away to Blackburn and spank them, and then we knew at home with 33,000 people there in that stadium, we could beat West Brom. I mean, fair play to Danny Rule. I don't say it enough on this show, but that is incredible.
It's unbelievable. I was just going to say it's unbelievable because basically since Danny's come in, we've been firefighting all season, and it's basically coming down to if you look at the last, well, not just second half, but maybe the last quarter of the season, we've had to be a top 10 side just to try and claw back any kind of deficit. So if you look at the form table, we'll be a comfortable, might even be a top six, but certainly a top 10 side when it comes to the form table. And we've had to be, and we've been firefighting and scrapping and clawing our way as much as we can just to try and eat this deficit back and give us a chance. And right at the end, near like on game like 44, we pulled it out against Blackburn, and then obviously the West Brom game. It's remarkable, really, when you think about it. If we can stay up now, it'd be up there with one of the greatest escapes the club's ever known.
Absolutely.
You've also got to look at the number of points as well, because I think 50 points, it'll be 53 if we... It's probably one of the highest number of points for teams to have got relegated on. Those are round below us. You know, last year, what was it? It was 96 points and we didn't get promoted. We ended up in the playoffs. You know, it's been, you know, struggle down there to get that sort of pointage. Normally, we would have been safe any other year. So it's bizarre. Just been a bizarre time.
Anything to add, Ash?
No. I think everyone, we all agree, don't we? We're all saying exactly the same. There's just a couple of comments here that said with that, after 13 games, you only scored 5 goals, from Scotch 24. And then Craig's made a good point. Goal difference minus 17 in October and minus 26 now. Isn't that bad? And don't forget, after October, we had the 4-0 Millwall at home, and then we had the 6-0 Ipswich game debacle.
Huddersfield
4-0. So you've got 3 games there. What's that, 14? So it's...
We've had some beatings during that time. Yeah. Usually when we played 4 at the back, actually.
Yeah, but then we've gone on to the next game and improved massively and either got a point or won. Do you know, I don't think... It's very... Please prove me wrong, anyone, but I don't think we've lost 2-3 on the bounce since the turn of the year.
Well, I think we had 2 on the bounce, but we hadn't had any trouncings one after the other. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because Danny's obviously learning from what we got wrong, and the team's obviously learning from what they got wrong prior. What have we got in the comments, Ash?
A man eating his own head is unbelievable.
That is unbelievable.
I don't
thanks for that, buddy.
We've got. I mean, this is probably a really. A show that you could do on your own, but Sharman's asked, do we give props to Tyson Chancery for taking a punt on Danny runs for cover? I mean, you've got to, for all, and he's got hundreds of failings. We know it. We've talked about him. Many people have talked about them this season. And for him to be being very quiet, apart from obviously the clip we saw at the weekend for the last couple of months, you have got to give a little bit of props to him that he's employed Danny. And in January, probably gave him some of the players he wanted, not all. But I don't want to...
Bear in mind, I'm not
that positive at the minute, you know.
It's all well and good saying, like, you know, we didn't get this player, we didn't get that in January. Yeah. But at the time, we were fighting for our lives. What player's going to want to come, for example, that's of any clout that Danny had won? You know, there's a lot of nuances to it. Yeah. In terms of Chancery himself, that's something he got right, and we'll slate him when he fucks it up, and we'll, you know, you've got to praise him when he does it right, you know, and that's one of the things he got right this season. Ash, I'm going to let you talk for a while now about the permutations, because
you know, you've done all the maths today. I've been grafting, so you've been taking a look at that. You've got yourself a lovely infographic ready. Tell me about what's going on.
So this, so I'm sure all Wednesdayites and everyone's been looking at the fixtures, league, and looked at what can't go wrong and everything. So at the moment, I've got a little infographic up, and it's basically who's playing who on Saturday. So we're away at Sunderland. So Sunderland 15th, we're 20th. Birmingham at home to Norwich. Ipswich are at home to Huddersfield. Leicester against Blackburn, and then Plymouth are at home to Hull. Now, if you look at that, I think we get any sort of point, we're safe. That's it. Doesn't matter what happens above, below. We get 1 point or more, we are safe. If we unfortunately don't get all the points or any points, we lose, then it would take Birmingham to beat Norwich and Plymouth to beat Hull.
And us not to beat Sunderland.
And us to get no points. For us to go down. There is some permutations with goal differences, which I think we all know as is pretty shocking, apart from Huddersfield. So I think that's just anything. So we know it. We just need a point. That's it. We do need a point at Sunderland. And I know it's not the happy hunting ground for the last couple of seasons. But, yeah. Oh, okay. Charmin, Street Fighter vibes. Nice work, Ash.
He's actually, I was looking it up earlier today. There's actually 26 or 27 permutations, and only one of them results in Wednesday getting relegated. So,
I tell you what, then. Okay, so let's get into it. Let's get into wind it out these last 2 minutes, Ash. What do you, I'll come to you first, then, pal, and then I want you guys to get the comments in as well. I want the team that you think is going to occupy that last relegation spot, and I want a prediction against Sunderland. So mill that round your head, folks. Let's have that. Paul Faruga's gone with, what are the odds on us winning three games on the trot 3-0? You know, well, we beat Blackburn 3-1, so I don't think that's possible. But, you know, scoring three, I'd love to know what that is. But go on, Ash, you can go first, mate. Who's going down and what's the score going to be on Saturday?
Saturday 12:30 kickoff, and we're not on Sky, so that's great. I'm gonna go. Birmingham, Huddersfield. Birmingham, Huddersfield, Rotherham. Obviously, Rotherham are gone already. To go down, I said it on the group chat and everything like that. I just want Birmingham to go down purely with the way they treat the manager. Eustace, I think obviously they thought they were doing the best thing, bringing a big name in like Rooney, and I know they beat us 2-1 away, but I just want Birmingham to go down, and Saturday against Sunderland. Look, Danny's come out and said they are going there to win. It's not one of those shut up shops. It's not like that one we've seen on thing, was it, Crew against bloody somebody else who played a 1-1 draw out, just passing it around the back.
Someone posted up that Simpsons clip. You know that one where they go, Garagiaga, and they go, "Why have I never seen soccer? I don't know." And it just cuts to the players, and they just these little triangles passing it to and from each other. That's going to be on Saturday.
I'm going to go for a draw. I'm going to go for a score draw, 1-1. I think the players have got it right up for it. It's the last game, and it's going to be a last game for quite a few of them, I imagine. So there's going to be a full sellout Wednesday nights up in Sunderland. So I'm going to go for a draw, and we're going to be safe. But I do think all the others will lose. Because Hull have still got a playoffs to go for. Norwich have still got to stay in the playoffs. And I think Ipswich will want to just win it easier, the league. So all the other teams, and Leicester's having a party at home, so they'll want to. So I think we'll get a point and everyone else will lose. See, I'm positive. I like that, you know.
Positive pants from the Ashmeister General. It comes once a time a season. Enjoy it while you can. I'm glad we've got so many people watching tonight. Make sure you keep getting those comments in. Who's going down? What the score's going to be this Saturday? Simon, what are you saying?
I So the three to go down will be obviously Rotherham, Huddersfield, and I think Birmingham will go down. But I think Plymouth will lose because they're playing Hull, and Hull are playing really well at the moment. They drew the other day against Ipswich. They desperately want to get into the playoffs. But I think Birmingham will draw with Norwich because Norwich haven't been doing that well. So they'll go down on goal difference, and I think we'll win 2-0.
2-0. 2-0 and Plymouth to go down. All right, John, wrap it up. Take me home.
Birmingham to go
down. Yeah, obviously, Huddersfield are gone because they'd need to win something like 15-0 or something. So no amount of Forestieri fun buses is getting them out of that one, I'm afraid. I think Plymouth are going. I think Birmingham will just manage to scrape a draw and or whatever they need. I think Plymouth will go down. In terms of our game, I think it'll be a draw also. Hopefully, it'll be like that scene from Braveheart where they send the Irish in to fight the Scots, and when they get in the middle, like, all right, son, how's it going? Yeah, we'll have these. Like, yeah. Nice kick around park, no drama. 1-1 draw, Wednesday stay up. That's what I'm hoping for.
I tell you what, 1-1 draw does seem to be like the popular ones. All right then, Ash, what are they saying out there in the land? What are they saying?
KH agrees with me. Look at this, people.
People agree with positive Ash. You say it with a smile on your face, Ash. You can't argue with you when you're smiling, bro.
We've got a 2-0 Wednesday from Anthony. Plymouth would love it to be Brum with all the talk about splashing the cash. Yeah, I think they won a 60,000 stadium, don't they, and all that sort. So, we've got 1-0 Wednesday, but Crumb catches the snitch. I know that's Harry Potter.
Did you get that reference, Ash? Did you understand that?
Sharman's gone with Birmingham to be relegated, and we'll get a draw, which is fine with me. This, mm-hmm. I mean, this would be good from John. Baz gets a penalty to clinch it. I think if Smith's on the pitch, he'll be the penalty taker, would he? We don't know, actually, do we?
I don't know, mate. I don't know.
I think they'd all be in shock if they got a penalty, don't they? Who needs to take it?
Right. Okay. So normally, what's that? Can we get a bounce out of Ash if we stay up? He's bouncing already tonight, Scotch, to be fair, bro. I think we've got upbeat Ash and he's already bouncing. But, yeah. You know, that could be the booze that he had on Saturday. Now then, so Ashley, we're promoting a thing. Can you tell us about that, please?
Yeah, we've as we mentioned earlier about our community thing, we've got a couple of tickets to the Legends Night in a week on Friday. So we've got two tickets. There's a raffle going on. If you look on our socials, there's a link to the website. A pound a ticket. You can spend the evening with a load of legends and Lee Peacock. And who else?
A load of legends and Lee Peacock. Yeah.
Well, that's still sat on the table. No, that's who you'd be sat on the table with is the legends. I don't know who plays us, I mean.
But there's loads of guys. Hooper's there, Des Walker. There's quite a few there. Yeah, it's quite a good.
Who's in charge of holding Holly back so she's not allowed to turn up? Have they got security on if Gary Hooper's there?
Probably, yeah. John Pearson will probably be secure here. Yeah. So that's there. So that's on our social. So please, yeah, if you fancy an evening with ex players and some poor podcasters, then crack on. That'd be lovely if you could.
Yeah, get yourselves involved. It's on our socials. Get involved in the raffle, and all the money goes to us ruining kids' lives by making them Sheffield Wednesday fans. it's just what happens.
All right. Stop going on about that, because I thought we're doing a really good thing here. You know, we're putting stuff back. We don't need any money or anything, we're giving it back, whatever we get, doing it. And all you, every time you go, I'm on a downer now, you know. Every time we've raised some money and give some tickets out, I think we've give out about, I don't know, 50 tickets this season or something daft like that. All I can think of is 50 kids' faces that are absolutely crying.
I tell you what it is, Ash, the difference is, right, back in about 2007, 2008, we played West Ham in the Cup and we beat them 1-0. I think Sean McAllister scored a nice little goal, tucked it away in the far side, and we brought the flag out on the cop. And I took one of my little brothers who was like 7 or 8 years old. Oh, that was like 5 or 6 at the time, right? And now he's like 22. right? And every time it falls to shit, I have a season ticket now with him and his dad. And every time it falls to shit, I get a text message or a nudge in the rib saying to me, thanks for making me support this fucking team, you prick. You know what I mean? And so, like, in 20 years' time now, there's going to be a load of parents going, that bloody podcast, if it weren't for them. you know what I mean? Right, and we've also got one more thing to talk about now. Mentioned Holly earlier on. She's done some absolute stellar work in stalking a load of ex-players that that used to play for the club. And sliding into their DMs. And it's weird how they don't respond to me and you, Ash, but they respond to Ollie. It's odd that, isn't it? And so we, you know, really great interview with David Stockdale last week. Coming up this week, we're going to have David Prutton, Mr. TV star himself, with his now new posh short haircut, which is absolute insanity to me. And then coming up later on, we've got, I think we've got confirmed so far, Chris Turner. Chris Kirkland's going to make an appearance. So it's all just goalkeepers called Chris. That's what's going to happen. But we're going to carry this on through the summer and we're going to get some more player interviews because, there'll be no football to talk about. It's the best time of year to do it, isn't it? So in the meantime, I'm just going to ask you lads, is the Emmy other business?
Only just seeing that Barry Bannon's been voted Sheffield Star Player of the Season. So there you go. That's what they think.
Oh, was that breaking news?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
I don't know if I agree with that. Not. Oh, I don't know now. He's been good for his age.
I've ruined it. You've
done it. No. It was,
made him grumpy now.
I just think there's been other players that have come to the fore. I think.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
We'll have his own player at season end of it all, won't we?
Bear in mind, he did do a night where he raised a load of money for the Children's Hospital, didn't he, as well? But, you know, also, fuck
that aside.
Where's our award then? We've raised money. We'll have another award.
Yeah, we've raised money, ruining kids' lives. Where's it? Actually, how many eggs did you give out, Ash?
679.
Was it? 600 odd, yeah.
600 odd chocolate eggs. So not only we're ruining the lives, we're also giving them diabetes. Lads, it's been an absolute pleasure tonight. Thank you so much for the people out in comment land. And you know what? I love these live shows. I'm glad this is something we started to do this season. It's been my absolute favorite to do it. We'll be doing some awards later on this season, Wednesday week player of the season. Well, that's clearly Dan Fudge if that's what we're talking about, but also Charlie's probably got a shout. None of these silly old sods. They're all too old and whingy. listen, thanks a lot for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure. Which for the penultimate time of the season, it's down to me to say, see you later.
He actually has a shot, but it goes the other way.
Leaves the goo.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Week.
I'm a little bit older than you.
I'm not touching this topic. I'm not touching it.
Yeah.
Mediocre, mid-table, rabble, aren't
you? So I just want to be able to talk as much crap.
If you play a night game, he has to turn the floodlights on.
No one would have believed that he would keep his job for as long as he had. But...
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.